John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
I'm actually kind of excited. I haven't had that, like, I mean, football excitement, let's face it. It, to me, it's way different when games are about to start than when
it's a process.
Yeah, you know, than when this stuff's about to start. But I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
You get out there today and see a football team practice.
It is it's an exciting time around here. We made it to training camp. Michelle, how are you? What's going on?
I am very excited as well, but I hate this hot weather. So I'm just weather confused because I'm wearing long sleeve, long pants in here because it's negative 20 degrees.
It's quite cold in the studio today.
120 degrees outside.
Weather confused. That's a good
one. I am weather confused majorly.
That's how people get sick. Dramatic temperature difference.
Is that true, though?
I don't know. I've always just assumed.
Yes, it's a myth. I don't know.
I think that's a myth, right?
I don't know. I mean, it makes some sense.
I've always believed it, but then at one point someone, like an adult, told me, like, yeah, that's not true. You get sick if you get like a virus.
Did an adult tell you or a doctor?
I think it was like one of my aunts, who was a very smart aunt.
That's right. We got a lot to get to on the program today. So a lot from yesterday's press conferences with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and Ryan Cowden as well. We'll have Paul Kaharsky coming up for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. Ben Arthur from the Tennessean at 9 o'clock as well. Joe, before we get to that, though, I would like to say something. You know, Chase and Willie and D-Mace made the announcement yesterday that Darren McFarland is no longer with us here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And it's really been kind of a tough week for me. You know, I'll just say this. For the spot that I'm in and the pathway of my career, I owe a lot of people a great debt of gratitude. As far as this and the radio is concerned, there's not one person that I owe more to than Darren McFarland. I came up with Darren. I did Predators pre- and post-game shows with Darren. That's how I got my start in radio, and that's what ultimately has kind of led to me here on this station and with this show. So Darren McFarland has been here for 11 years. He's been in this market for way longer than that, and he has done an outstanding job in his career, an outstanding job in his coverage with the Predators as well, and he will be missed greatly. So I owe a lot to Darren McFarland in my career, and I just thought it was important to really acknowledge that.
Well, yeah, that's honestly, like, I knew he was important and he's been doing it for such a long time and it would make sense, but I didn't really know that until you just said it right there.
Yeah, like this is how I got my start, was with him. So I owe a lot of my success and a lot of getting here to Darren McFarland. So I thought it was important to acknowledge that today.
Darren is awesome. You know, I think everybody who listens to the station knows that. He's a tremendous broadcaster, just a great guy. And I think you're not going to find too many differing opinions on that.
Yep. So no question about it. We wish the best to Darren and his family in the future for sure. So John Robinson, Mike Vrabel speaking yesterday, and Ryan Cowden as well. I have to keep throwing that in there. Ryan Cowden was also there.
Ryan Cowden was really good.
He was. He was very good yesterday. So some interesting comments that we're going to spend a lot of time on today. From some of the things that those three said yesterday. But I want to start on the Treylon Burks front because, obviously, that was a popular topic of conversation with Mike Vrabel and with John Robinson as well. And, Joe, my takeaway from yesterday was it sounds like, at the moment, Treylon Burks is good to go. He passed the conditioning test and sounds like they're expecting him to be out there in full go today as training camp begins. Here's what John Robinson and Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday about the status of Treylon Burks.
John, were you guys able to come up with some solutions, you know, I guess physically, medically, whatever you want to say, for Treylon Burks since minicamp, and do you expect him to be you know, ready to roll?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, he did a nice job in the conditioning test. He's been out here for a couple of days and has been running around well and made a couple of plays. So certainly excited with the trajectory that he's on, and, you know, we'll take it day by day. And, you know, bumps and bruises happen during training camp. Hopefully we don't have too many.
How do you feel about the way Treylon attacked his health this summer? And is he in a position to get through camp every day?
Well, I mean, he's put together two good days. I mean, I'm not going to predict, you know, who's going to be out there every day right now. Corey, I can't do that. I won't do that. You know, we're focusing on, you know, just daily improvement with each and every player. And, you know, we're excited to keep working with them. And, but that's going to be the same for everybody. It's just trying to focus on today and how we approach and how we attack today. We'll have a lot of meetings today, and then we'll be out there, you know, bright and early tomorrow.
So that was Vrabel and J-Rob from yesterday discussing the status of Treylon Burks. Sounds like he's had a couple of good days. The conditioning test has been passed for Treylon Burks, and, you know, that kind of lines up with what we talked about yesterday with the reporting from Diana Russini, putting it out there that it seems like there's been some significant progress that has been made. What was your takeaway from Vrabel and John Robinson's thoughts on the Treylon Burks situation yesterday?
Yeah, well, I think it follows up what we talked about yesterday. Diana Russini talking on Robert May's podcast about you know, good news on the Burks front, and, you know, those guys are being careful, as they should be. And you're not going to be like, yes, he's going to take every rep, and he's, you know, he's in the greatest shape of any football player in the history of mankind. I mean, they hedged it a little bit, and look, you don't know what's going to happen, and hey, maybe there could be a plan still where he misses a little bit of time and they're careful about it. I don't know, but clearly he is here and they like what they're seeing, and he's going to be participating, and that's good news. That's very important news for the Titans.
It is, and it's one of those things too where, you know, we talked about this yesterday, trying to, I guess, decipher who Diana Russini's source is. Like, is it Vrabel? Maybe. Is it J-Rob? Maybe. Is it somebody else? Maybe. But whoever it is, if you're the Titans, like, there's no real benefit to you going to Diana Russini and saying, hey, there's been a lot of progress made on Treylon Burks, and it looks like he's in, you know, better shape, and things are trending well in that direction. And then all of a sudden, you know, today comes around and you get out on the field and he's either not out there or he can't get through the whole thing, can't get through the whole practice without having to, you know, rest. Like, that doesn't really serve the Titans' purposes very well. So, like, I heard Jared and Caroline batting this around yesterday of, like, do you believe Mike Vrabel and John Robinson when they're talking about Treylon Burks? And, like, I don't really understand the question. Like, it makes no sense to me to lie about this. Like, what benefit would there be if you're John Robinson or Mike Vrabel and the Titans, to not be truthful about this?
And then today we all come out there and they're like, yeah, you lied!
Like, Treylon Burks is sitting there over on the sideline just with a towel over his head waving around. Hey, can't go today, guys, but maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Pass the Grey Poupon.
Yeah.
There is no reason. Now, let's say Treylon Burks had a bad offseason or just didn't really make progress. He showed up like, he's just not good enough shape. Really worried about his conditioning and how he's going to hold up and everything. If those exact same questions were asked yesterday, I wouldn't expect Vrabel and J-Rob to say, guys, I just feel like we need to, like, ban stores around here from selling Cheetos. Like, right. I don't, yeah. You know, I don't know what to tell you. It's just bad. It is bad. You know, they would have been probably just kind of non-committal. Like, well, we're hopeful, you know, something like that. You know, we'll see when he gets out there, and, you know, we believe in Treylon and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, you know, it's not like they would have gone the other way and said, yeah, he's in bad shape, everybody, so be ready for that. But the way they answered it, like, you're not going as far as they did if there's not truth in it. We're about to go to the field right now and watch the team play.
Yeah. Well, and you could tell, Vrabel especially, you could tell, you know, he didn't want to get too far ahead of himself because it's training camp, and things happen all the time in training camp. And look, it could be true that Treylon Burks is ready to go today, and he could go out in the second drill and tweak his hamstring, and all of a sudden he's out.
Well, he could go out in the second drill and have a get a little bit winded or whatever. Or there's asthma that's part of this too, and you know, and have to leave. They don't know for sure until you get into the full competition. Now, those conditioning tests are tough. I mean, they're running gassers. You know, I mean, those are, by my understanding,
it's not fun.
Yes. So getting through that is a big deal. But still, you don't know for sure. So, yeah, Vrabel hates anything involving health. And certainly involving, like, projecting what might happen with an injury or a condition. I mean, yeah, I don't know if he can hate anything more than that stuff. So, so of course, he was going to be careful.
Yeah, but my large takeaway from those two yesterday was it sounds like there have been at least some encouraging signs on Treylon Burks, which if you're a Titans fan, I mean, I talked about this yesterday. Does it really matter that he wasn't ready to go in the spring, if he's ready to go now? Like, if he's ready to go now, and this is it, and he gets through the next few days without any issue, barring an injury setback coming up at some point, like, if he's ready, like, does the spring really matter all that much at this point? You want it, like, you want the reps. I get that. But you can make up reps in training camp. Like, it becomes way less of a big deal to me if he's ready to go now, if you're Treylon Burks.
I agree, although, like Ryan Cowden mentioned, you know, talking about the banking hours, quarterbacks and receivers yesterday, and, you know, football people believe in it. It makes sense to me. So it's one of those things where had he had the full spring, you'd have a little more leeway to miss a bit of time here in camp and be okay, right? Like, there's still just a certain amount of work you got to get in. So there is a premium on don't get hurt, don't, you know, don't have any issues.
Right.
Be out there for every rep now. So that's, but I agree with you. Like, if that happens, then I think you're fine. He's got to have a great camp. I mean, they are from the start, from that moment on draft night, we knew they were going to have to lean heavily on him.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Titans training camp with the first on-field day coming up later today. Some interesting comments, or really lack thereof, from John Robinson yesterday on the Jeffrey Simmons contract situation. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans training camp, and of course, welcoming your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So it looks like Treylon Burks is going to be good to go, at least to start training camp today, and we'll see how that situation shakes itself out. I was very interested to see what John Robinson had to say yesterday regarding Jeffrey Simmons and his contract situation. Now, they did put it out there, and Vrabel put it out there as well, that he expects Jeffrey Simmons to be practicing and then to be on a plan. As Vrabel made sure to point out yesterday, that different players could have different plans at different times in training camp. I think that came up a few times yesterday in the press conference. But I was interested to see what John Robinson had to say about the Jeffrey Simmons contract situation. And it turns out, not a whole lot. Here's what J-Rob had to say yesterday regarding Jeffrey Simmons.
Mike said that he expects Jeffrey to be out there tomorrow. Is there anything going on contract-wise with him?
No, I mean, I talked to agents with a lot of our players. I've talked with his representation, and we've got an understanding of where we're at, and you know, he's excited to be back and ready to rock and roll.
Is where you are anywhere close to a new deal, or are you proceeding under the current terms?
Yeah, we don't really talk about contracts, and you know, I've said that before. I think that's a matter between the club and the agent and the player, and that's how we'll keep it here.
General John, would you consider redoing a deal with another year and then an option year after that left on it still?
Yeah, philosophy-wise, again, I don't want to dive too much into contracts and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, everything's a case-by-case basis. But, you know, I would say that, you know, again, we're not going to talk about where we're at from a contract standpoint.
So, Joe, kind of reading in between the lines of all that, how do you decipher kind of what that means as it relates to the Jeffrey Simmons situation? Apparently they expect him to be on the practice field today. John Robinson did say in those comments that
He's spoken with Jeffrey Simmons' representatives, and they have a, quote, good understanding of where each other is at the moment, and also said that, you know, contracts, generally speaking, are a case-by-case basis. So with all that in mind, what kind of read do you have on the Jeffrey Simmons situation after yesterday?
Well, Robinson has always gone there when it comes to, other than, like, a press conference announcing a deal. He doesn't talk about contracts, which is a good policy. If you have his job, it's smart policy. So this is a good time to go ahead and stick to that, right? And he did. And honestly, it's just pure guesswork right now. I can't really read anything into it. If there's anything to read into, if Simmons is out there today, then I guess if you made me guess, I'd probably guess that there's some talks going on.
That would be my guess.
So, and I think, again, I think that that makes sense. I think he's a special case. And I think the fact, maybe if there's one thing Robinson said that you can go ahead and dig in on, you know, he did say everything's a case-by-case basis, you know, which I think is true. It's a good way to look at it. And also, it would kind of dismiss the idea that just because he's never done something, he wouldn't do it here.
Well, that's the one comment that stuck out to me was the case-by-case basis. Now, maybe that's just because we've talked on the show for 2 months about Jeffrey Simmons being a special case of the case-by-case basis, and I don't know if John Robinson meant anything specifically by that or not, but that was the comment that jumped out to me yesterday. I mean, look, I mean, it's interesting. I guess good news if you're a Titans fan that he's going to be on the field. Like we were, or at least they expect him to be on the field. You know, we were wondering would there be a hold in or whatever you want to call it, or you know, similar to the plan we saw in minicamp of Jeffrey Simmons was there, but he wasn't really there in terms of out there on the field. Like the fact that I guess they expect him to be out there today for practice to me is a good thing if you're a Titans fan out there.
Yeah, no question. Again, he doesn't need a lot of work, you know, really, I mean, other than just getting ready, gearing up for the season, being in great shape. I thought that's one thing. He wasn't out there, of course, in the spring, but he did come to that press conference, and I thought he looked a little slimmed down, in a little bit better shape even than the year before. I mean, I think it seems like he's just getting in better and better shape as he goes, which is a good way to go. So, so really, if he's out there participating whenever they want to participate, I'm sure that he will have some. You know, that's the thing.
He's going to have some off days.
Yeah, and so, of course, whenever that happens, then he'll be like, wait a minute, what's going on here? But if he's out there today, I think you can put that stuff aside, and we'll see. I mean, I'm going to stick with my prediction that before the end of camp, there will be a press conference to talk about his new contract.
I think I could see that. I think I could see that for sure with John Robinson Titans. Now, I mean, it was interesting, too, like, I guess without him providing many details, you're just left to speculate. But he did say, we have a good understanding of where each other is. I mean, I guess there's a possibility, too, that the Titans be like, hey, this is where we are. We don't really have any interest in doing this right now. So that's not going to change. You can either just sit here or, you know, we'll have this conversation again next summer or whatever the case may be. There is that possibility, too, of,
yeah,
you know, the position where maybe the position the Titans have made clear to Jeffrey Simmons' representatives is, hey, we don't have really much interest in talking about this right now.
We're going to have to ask Jeffrey.
We're going to have to.
And that'll be interesting. Because, yes, the understanding could be just what you said. Hey, you know, we appreciate you. We value Jeff. And as we always do, you know, we'll look at this next year. So we appreciate you giving us your best this year in the meantime. Again, like to me, the benefit, the potential benefit of doing something now is that I think you could end up in better shape with the deal. But that doesn't mean that Jeff looks at it that way.
That doesn't mean that he looks at it that way. And it's also, like, there, to me, with the control the Titans have of him right now in terms of his contractual status of you've got this year, you got the fifth-year option next year, and then you could franchise tag him after that. I mean, that's three more years of team control. Like, there's a limited amount of leverage, I guess, that Jeffrey Simmons could use to his disposal right now. But one of those, one of those options would be like, hey, I'm just going to sit here for a little bit. Like, I'm not doing anything. So I guess, like, the more I read into it, if I'm a Titans fan, the more that maybe I'm convinced of what you said earlier could be true of maybe there are some talks going on right now between John Robinson and Jeffrey Simmons.
Well, and, you know, the thing is, even if, like, you're the Titans and you believe what you said, which is, we got this year. Got an option here. We can tag him. Like, why would we do this? Doesn't it still make sense to, like, have the talks?
Well,
anyway?
What's the harm,
like,
in talking?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a show of respect. And
I'd say, like, he's the guy that
keeping relationships good.
Like, right? Even if you don't have any interest in actually doing the deal right now, I'd still be having conversations I was John Robinson and the Titans.
Big part of the job, talking to agents. Talking to reporters.
Yeah.
And talking to agents. Which does John Robinson enjoy more?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
He seemed to have fun yesterday.
He did. He did seem to have a good time yesterday. So we'll see what happens on the Jeffrey Simmons run. It is going to be interesting to watch because Vrabel pointed this out yesterday, and this is not anything new with Vrabel. I mean, with some of your veteran guys like Kevin Byard, obviously Derrick Henry, which, by the way, we can go ahead and put that to bed yesterday, like the idea of Derrick Henry playing in preseason games, doesn't look like that's going to happen. Vrabel's like, yeah, I don't think I would anticipate him playing in preseason games this year.
Did someone actually ask about that specifically, or did Vrabel just sort of volunteer that? When he said that, I'm like, wait.
Honestly, I can't remember. I don't think they asked
if
he was
going to.
I don't think they asked if he was playing in, like, preseason games specifically, but maybe if. I think the general question was, like, does his injury from last year change the way that you handle him,
like,
in
the whole
preseason.
You're right.
Yeah.
Which I just took as, like, the practice stuff and everything, which, again, last year before he got injured, he was largely on the side.
It was interesting that Vrabel just offered it up, though. Yeah, I wouldn't anticipate seeing much of him in preseason games.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for the update. Yeah.
Ron on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if you can only have one of these guys healthy and available this year, which one would you take, Farley or Burks? Only one? I'd probably go Burks.
Yeah, I think you'd have to go Burks. You know,
although there was a development yesterday.
Yeah, the corner group's lighter, but I mean, you have options. You could be fine at corner. I don't see how you're okay at receiver if he's not some kind of a factor. Yeah, I think you have to go Burks.
And speaking of that development, we'll get into that coming up next. An announcement right off the top yesterday from Mike Vrabel as it relates to a cornerback position and the depth there with the Titans. How big a deal is it, and what could the Titans do to address it? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Mike. Mike, everybody here all accounted for?
Yeah, Buster Screen informed us that he was going to retire. Respect that decision. Really respect Buster as a person, as a player. But he made a decision which he felt like was best for him and his family. And, you know, we'll respect that and support him however we can.
Everybody else on hand?
Yes.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday with some news off the top of the press conference yesterday. Buster Screen apparently deciding to retire from the NFL, I believe after 11 seasons. He's calling it quits for his NFL career. An important signing last year in the middle of the year with the amount of injuries that the Titans had, including to Caleb Farley. Buster Screen came in, I thought played pretty well for the Titans given his role last year, and I thought was for sure going to make the team this year with the cornerback situation that they have, but that's going to be a little bit of a problem for the Titans to try to replace some veteran leadership in Buster Screen. What did you make of that yesterday, and how does that the loss of Buster Screen, I guess, affect how you view their cornerback room right now, which is very, very young in that room?
Yeah, that's the crazy thing is the veterans now are the two third-year guys, Chris Jackson and Christian Fulton.
Yeah.
That's the NFL, though. So it's not ideal. I mean, I think Buster Screen was pretty solid in a pinch last year, gave him some good games, and obviously gave him that veteran presence. So I thought their corner group was totally set at six. going into camp. And, well, teaser, I'll be unveiling my 53-man roster coming up later.
Oh, we're looking forward to that. Coming up at 7 o'clock.
And that changed how I looked at it, but I must say I struggled to find the sixth corner. Now, it doesn't mean there won't be one, either here, now, or potentially picked up. But I think the Titans could potentially just go with the five and be a little bit heavier elsewhere. So we'll see. I think Farley's status is a big part of that too. If they're he's at 90%, according to Vrabel yesterday, he and Robert Woods. And he said basically when they're not doing the stuff that they're missing, they can basically go off to the side and work individually since they, it's a corner and a receiver. Kind of works out well.
He said he didn't really want them doing the open field tackling drills right now.
Yes.
Probably a good idea.
So they're like Thunder buddies over there doing little, running some routes against each other and stuff when they're not doing that. But if Caleb Farley is basically going to be, today is, to me, huge on that front. Like, is Farley going to be out there for all the team stuff? I assume so. And so if that all keeps going well and everything, and he plays well, then I think they could be okay with the five. But maybe not. Maybe there's someone else, again, who emerges. They've had, over the years, they've had pretty good luck finding some of those reserve corners who can come in a pinch and be solid, be fine. So they may need to find another one.
Do you think it's important to have kind of a veteran guy in that room for some of these younger players like Caleb Farley, like Roger McCreary? You brought it up, Christian Fulton and Chris Jackson are the elder statesmen in the room right now, and they're heading into their third season. Do you think that's important to find an older veteran-type cornerback, or – do we overblow that a little bit maybe in the media?
Yeah. I think it's important, but I think also if you have really good, professional, smart, young players at a particular position, then you're fine. Plus, Kevin Byard is here. So it's still, it's still the secondary group, and you have Byard and Hooker at safety, which to me makes that a little bit less urgent. And like Chris Jackson to me, obviously, he's not a great player. And look, it's not like it's impossible that, Chris Jackson could be pushed for his job. There are some guys here. Trey Swilling, rookie out of Georgia Tech, is a name to watch. Chris Williamson, who's been in the league a year out of Minnesota. There's always a possibility of someone rising up and challenging him. And Chris Jackson, to me, is he's – I think kind of like I think his leadership and things like that have helped him be here from the start. So I think he will fill that role largely. But again, he's got to be here.
And J-Rob and Vrabel both said that I guess there's a possibility that they could add to cornerback, at least in camp moving forward. I think they'll do that. I think there will be probably some workouts hosted in the next couple of days, and they'll probably add another corner to the group just for numbers in right. camp. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that whatever cornerback they add in camp is going to be around when final cuts come around, but I think somebody else will probably be added at some point here in camp for the Titans. It was interesting hearing both Robinson and Vrabel and Cowden talk about Farley and McCreary yesterday. There was an interesting question to Cowden about McCreary in terms of his perceived weakness of short arms, and he brought it up. Well, that can be a weakness, but when you're right on top of somebody and you're covering the way that Roger McCreary covered in college football, a lot of times that weakness never shows up because you're right there in the pocket of somebody. So I thought it was interesting to hear the different breakdown of those two, because then there's Farley, who's long and rangy and athletic. Vrabel talked about him having two interceptions the other day, and Jared tried to see who the quarterback was that threw those two interceptions. Vrabel wasn't willing to go there.
Of course he did.
It was pretty interesting to hear that.
Did Tannehill throw him?
But the that was a good Jared voice.
Tell me now.
Tell me now, Mike. Also left off, Vrabel's like, I just can't remember.
Yeah.
I have no clue who threw him. But hearing the comparisons and the ways that they view those two guys and how different they are stylistically is pretty interesting. And, I am also interested to see how many reps does McCreary get outside and how many does he get inside as well, because he did play both in college at Auburn.
Yeah, and Cowden broke that down pretty well, just in terms of how they evaluated inside outside, and basically came away with, yeah, like they feel like he can do both. So is he competing with Molden? Is he competing with Farley? That's just the corner group when the ones defense comes out today. It's going to be really interesting. By the way, on that practice, the interception thing, so it's rookies, quarterbacks, and players who were injured at the end of the spring all reported early. And so they had – so it's not, you know, your full practice, but it is your quarterbacks. So Caleb Farley picked off a couple quarterbacks. And Vrabel, it's interesting because Vrabel was kind of like – yeah, he was excited, and I was like, okay, you know, we're going to start practicing in a couple days, like as a team.
Yeah.
But Vrabel did say, like, that his length is, it kind of surprises you. And that's the thing. It's a huge part of the position. If you can move and, you know, and you've got the speed and the hips, and you've got that kind of length at corner, a lot more plays you can make.
Well, there's a lot that goes into it with him. The injuries are the big concern. We've talked about that. The lack of playing experience on the field at that position, obviously at the NFL level, but really just in general, is a concern. But having said all that, you know, when he was drafted, we talked about the physical tools that he brings to the table. He is big. He is, you know, a longer corner than you normally see out there, and he can run as well. So athletically, like, there's a lot that you really like. If he's able to put it all together and, most importantly, stay healthy, you could really be working with something if you're the Titans there.
No doubt. Yeah. No, I mean, it's and it's, you know, and personality-wise, too, I know a lot of people say the most important thing about the personality of, like, a defensive back is that you can absolutely forget that you just got burned on the last play and now you have to line up and do it again. But he has the swagger,
yeah,
you know, to play the position, too. And if he does become a starter, a really good player for the Titans, first of all, from a media perspective, that's big because he's going to be really good. But I think also he kind of has that. He has that charisma that also I think can help a football team on the field.
John on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, it was like Jared was in the room with you two when Joe did his little impersonation there.
Mike, he'll throw it. He'll throw the picks, Mike. That wasn't very good. That sounded more
kind of scary.
A dying duck.
I'm interested to see how he looks today. I mean, this is a total guess by me, but my guess is McCreary will be competing with Farley outside and will take some reps inside. Like, it would be great to have a guy that, let's say Molden goes down, like, it'd be great to be like, all right, Roger, well, you've got the inside now. Like, yeah, that versatility could be pretty big for the Titans.
It would be. It's a lot on a rookie.
It is.
So it seems like you got to make a choice. This is also where, you know, it does hurt to lose screen. You know, you have another guy who can bounce around. Now, Chris Jackson, of course, has also played inside and outside, yep, too. So you know you have that. And that's why I feel like Chris Jackson, he's had his ups and downs, you know, on Sundays, but he's been a kind of an inspirational player here for this team. He knows what he's doing, and I think he's an important veteran piece. But, yeah, they could use one of these other guys I mentioned to emerge. And like you said, there's definitely going to be another name here soon.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Some interesting comments from John Robinson on Ryan Tannehill yesterday. We'll get to those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We have made it. Titans training camp is finally here. By the way, Chase William D-Mace will be out at Titans training camp today, taking in all the action. So looking forward to that coming up from 10 to 2 today on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Right now, taking your thoughts
on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So some interesting comments yesterday from John Robinson on Ryan Tannehill and what he's seen out of Tannehill heading into this year. And basically the act of putting the Cincinnati game behind you, if you're him, if you're John Robinson, if you're the team as a whole, and kind of how that translates to Tannehill's job this year. Here's what John Robinson had to say yesterday at his press conference.
In terms of Ryan's mindset, what have you seen that suggests to you that he can and that he's kind of ready to embrace the challenge of this season?
Juice, energy, leadership, fired up to be out here, working with the new players that are on the team about, hey, when you run this route this way, look for the ball because this is what I'm looking for out of you on this certain route. He's into it and ready to roll.
So he's into it. He's ready to roll. Ryan Tannehill's got the juice coming into this season. Now, there's a couple different things on those comments I want to get to, but I'll start with this. Jared took that yesterday and says that basically he thinks that that is John Robinson's way of saying that they want Tannehill to be meaner this year and that from a leadership perspective, they want him to really get in there and be a little bit more of a, I guess, vocal leader or getting guys' faces a little bit more this year when things aren't going well to correct these mistakes. I'll start with your thoughts on that. What did you take any of those comments yesterday of John Robinson saying, you know what, we want Tannehill to be a little bit more of a pain in the butt this year when he needs to be?
No. What? See, but this is the problem. So get there yesterday. Jared, it's pretty hilarious because Jared's sitting in Kaharski's seat and he's like wearing his sunglasses for the presser too, which I just thought was great. But then when it ends, he's like, well, you guys spent half the show talking about me yesterday. And I was like, I think maybe 12 seconds. But yeah, half the show.
Yeah.
So this is the problem. If we go down this road, you know we're going to hear about it.
We're going to hear about it no matter what. So we might as well just do it.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. May as well just do it. No, I didn't take that. You start yelling at people, Ryan.
Oh, my God, Dez, cut in. Why are you cutting out?
Just runs down and starts grabbing face masks out there. You know, man. The ability to like simple sentences that are like kind of, you know, run of the mill sentences that to me were like, yeah, like I like what I'm seeing from
Traylon, it. Get off the sideline. Get out here.
I mean, between yelling at people angrily and then like, you know, those weeks where he's going to be pulling a sled because he's about to face the Dolphins or like some former teammate he wish he yelled at more.
Is Tannehill showing up today as a, I don't know, Ghost Rider, a Nick Cage character? You know, Rogers had the Cameron Poe Con Air outfit yesterday, which is incredible. Tannehill going like Ghost Rider today, walking in the building.
What would Tannehill's, you know, like easy outfit be of like a well-known, you know, like character in a movie or something?
I don't know.
It's like, a good question. He just doesn't have the flow like Rodgers.
He does not have the flow. That's like for that. Sure.
Yeah. We have to see what Tannehill walks into. I mean, I guess for Vrabel hopes or Robinson hopes he's showing up, you know, like combat gear, I guess.
I feel like Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
Really?
I feel like that'd be fitting. You know, the red hair.
Green outfit, okay. Fluttering around.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
How's it going? It was interesting. Because I thought, you know, Robinson, I think back to him at the combine. Obviously, he got really emotional about the missed opportunity against Cincinnati and, you know, what that game and what that team really meant to him. And, you know, we talked about it the day after in terms of, man, doesn't it kind of feel like the Titans, like the opportunity was right there, they all knew it, and they just blew it. Like at some point, you know, maybe that's something that, look, maybe they get to the end of their career and that was their best shot to win a Super Bowl and they just couldn't do it, and you look back with a lot of regret then. But like right now, like you got to move on from Cincinnati if you're the Titans. If you're Ryan Tannehill, everything that's happened, John Robinson, everything that's happened, I think they've done that. But that's still that game, and you can feel it on our text line. You can feel it with
honestly, I think some of the energy from Titans fans this year, I just really haven't felt it so far heading into this training camp. I still think a lot of people are bummed about the Cincinnati game and how that views the way they are, I guess, expect what is going to happen with this team. At some point, you just got to move on, man. And that was kind of J-Rob's message yesterday.
Yes, and of course, everybody remembers what happened in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
When he gave a thanks to Chris Harris, who was the Barbara Walters of that moment, getting him to cry. But I mean, he was emotional, and to me, that was totally raw. I don't think that it was at all planned.
No,
I don't think he wanted to be on camera crying or have a bunch of reporters around him as we surrounded him in a little makeshift, you know, stands in Indy crying. But that's how much it hit him. I mean, even yesterday, so the quote, as he was asked by them, he said, yeah, it was tough for both of us. We talked at some point, you got to move on. We're on to this season, new team. He's excited, I'm excited. Another opportunity to play in this league. Greatest sport in the world, in my opinion. And you can't just let it continue to fester at some point. You just got to turn the page and go. It festered for a while. And
even
yesterday when Robinson said it, I was looking at him, I was like, man.
There's some intensity there going on.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's hard to get those opportunities. It's hard in this league to get to those opportunities. You have more of them usually, like if you have a great Hall of Fame-bound quarterback, you know, then you feel probably better about being able to, like the Packers. Well, your Packers have all kinds of issues right now, right?
I mean, they do.
Their receiver room is shredded, and their left tackle's hurt, and all that stuff. And still, I don't hate their chances of being in the Super Bowl this year. And they've had a couple straight bad playoff performances, but I don't hate their chances because of who their quarterback is.
Right.
If you don't have that quarterback, then I think you just naturally feel like, you know, your opportunities are just. They aren't just automatically going to be there for you. So that's why it's been festering. And I that was the first thing I thought after that game, other than the whole, man, Tannehill is just, you know, like I just thought differently of Tannehill after that game. And also, my gosh, are they going to regret this opportunity? But they do have an opportunity now to have a very good football team.
Do you think they're asking him to do anything differently this year? I mean, Forget the A.J. Brown thing, because we've talked about on the field what that means. Like, do you think that they want him to lead in a different way? Do you think
there's
anything to that at all that Jared was putting out there yesterday?
I don't know where in the world that comes from. Now, if Jared says, you know, someone told him that, okay, I'm willing to listen to that. Now, that's pure speculation. I think it's completely misguided speculation. Tannehill's a really good leader. Now, it is easier to be the better player you are, the easier it is to be a great leader. So, you know, if Tannehill plays poorly this year, I think it gets harder for him to lead. But how he leads, what he does, I think he's exactly what they want. And I think it's a big part of, like, Vrabel. I mean, look, Vrabel and Robinson kind of have to support him. Like, the contract dictates that. But I think that's one of the things that they feel best about is how he does that. That's not the thing. It's throw the ball accurately. It's don't throw the ball to the other team. It's make huge throws and clutch moments. That's what it is. That's all it is. The leadership part of it, nah, I think he's excellent.
Well, look, I think there's, you know, I'm not around him as much as you are. And with the COVID setup the last couple of years, nobody's been around him as much as you would have liked to have been. But I do think, based on conversations that I've had with you, there's a pretty significant difference between he and Marcus in terms of the getting in your face and or, you know, being a little bit more vocal out there. Like, that was the thing with Marcus the whole time, and former players have talked about it. Like, I think Eric Decker talked about it. DeMarco Murray talked about it. Like, there's got to be a little bit more of a vocal element to his leadership.
You're just so excited to bring all this stuff up, aren't you?
I'm just pointing out that we've had this conversation before around here.
Yes.
With the quarterback. You know, not everybody is Tom Brady out there screaming at people on the sideline, or Peyton Manning, or, you know, Aaron Rodgers will yell at you. He's not afraid to do that. Like,
but he doesn't do it a ton.
He doesn't do it a ton. There's also, like, it's Aaron Rodgers and it's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
they carry a little bit of a different weight when those two guys are doing those things.
Yeah, I would say Brady and Manning.
Yeah,
you know, probably at the far end of the scale of quarterbacks who are totally comfortable getting after people, and you want that. I can't recall like a particular, you know, there's a couple real famous Brady blowups. Right?
Oh yeah,
but again, there's still like there's a few. For the most part, you know, it's not like he's
been playing
screaming
for 30 years.
Left and right. Yeah. Manning would get after people, you know, for sure.
Yeah. Him and Jeff Saturday got into it a lot.
Yeah. You know, so I can't – I mean, I definitely have seen Tannehill, you know, especially with younger players, like younger receiver, they ran around, you know, go after him and tell him right away, is he screaming and grabbing the face mask? No, but I mean, is that really – how often is that necessary? First of all, I think it's just less a part of – sports.
It's way less now. Yeah.
Football, sports, anything. I mean, it's less a thing. But he certainly says what's on his mind, and there's a difference, and he is better than Mariota, that stuff. There's no doubt. And I think that's when they switched to him, I think that's one of the things that they liked, is they saw that he had that natural willingness to use his voice, and Mariota didn't, a lot of times just really didn't.
I will say I do like the idea of J-Rob wanting him to be meaner this year. J.C. in Goodsville texted in, Traylon, put down that inhaler. Get serious over here. What are you doing? Come on.
Well, how does like that quote, what he said, what he was asked about, how does that quote translate to, he better be meaner. I got it. I need to hear this. Jared versus Joe today. Maybe I'll have to ask him.
Brent on the text line says, what was Vrabel upset with behind the press conference before it started? Something clearly bothered him. Well, I think there was like a leaf blower or something going on, wasn't it?
Yeah,
weed eater?
Weed whacker, I believe.
Weed eater?
It's a weed whacker, right?
Yeah, it's weed whacker.
This
yeah.
is another northern-southern thing that you are going to
really?
Lose this battle on the text line.
Weed
yeah.
eater is the southern?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't I kind of love it, though.
Isn't yeah. it just like different? Is that different brands?
No.
No?
Just what you call the whole process.
Okay, weed eliminator.
There we go.
That was making a lot of noise, and Vrabel's like, you get them to take care of that. Don't want to piss off Vrabel.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will debut Joe Rexroad's initial 53-man roster for the Tennessee Titans. Looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Moto Casino. Oh, America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.